We're doing Drashot Aran. We're up to page Kuf Lamed Tet in the Shalem edition. Page Shin Chaf Gimel in the Mosad Hav Kok edition. V'ze Inyan Yisalek Safek Gadol Sheyesh Lishol V'Lomar. With what we've just learned, we can answer another question. In Etziva Hashem Yitbach Sheyu Alvim Yuchadim La'avodat ha-mishkan tachat ha-bchorot. God says that the Levites should serve in the Mishkan instead of the firstborn. V'amar shirui sheyeh sechar levim al Yisrael mutar lifua. And God says that Israel has to pay the wages for the Levites. Mipnei shezachah b'chol b'chorot Yisrael kasher itzila mimakat b'chorot mimitzayim. God says the firstborn should have died in the plague of the firstborn in Egypt. I saved them. So that's why God says that's why the Levites have to pay off the Jews have to pay off the Levites. V'kevan shezacha behem behem b'fisham nifsalu ma'avodato hoi sheyu sochrim achrim tachtehim. Technically, God says the Jewish firstborn were on the line. God saved them. They should have done the service. They sinned. So if the Levites are coming instead of the firstborn, so then Israel has to pay off the Levites who are taking the job of the firstborn. And the firstborn, so to speak, owe me, God says, because when I killed the firstborn in Egypt, I could have killed them too. That's what the verse says. The Levites are designated to me. I've taken them instead of the firstborn of Israel. Ki li kol b'chol b'vnei Yisrael, because the firstborn of Israel are mine. Ba'adam uva be'ima. When it comes to man or animal, on the day that I smote the firstborn of Egypt, I designated the firstborn to me. Klomar, as if to say, as if God saying, when I killed the firstborn of the Egyptians and did not kill the firstborn Jews, that's when I took my right to the firstborn Jews. And if when you look at that, it doesn't seem to work. Why, if God's coming to hit the firstborn Egyptians, why does that, so to speak, give him a right to the firstborn Jews? The Egyptians deserve punishment. Of course, God didn't hit those that didn't deserve anything. Should a king tell a person? Is it right for a person to tell for a king to tell someone? You know what? You got to work for me. I killed so and so. He's a murderer. I didn't kill you, so you better work for me. Obviously, that's not fitting. And it would seem that by the same token, over here, what's God telling us? If he's saying, I killed them but didn't kill you, of course, why should you kill us? So that's the question. In a second, we'll see the answer. Yes?
You answered it last week. You said that once God releases something in nature, whoever's in the way, I mean, you don't have
to. So that's what he's going to say.
They got Egyptians, I'm sure. Every single Egyptian, must have been one righteous firstborn at least. I mean, so God will work that out, you know, in the next world or whatever. I mean, you know, we see it all the time where God allows when he says something in nature. So that's
what he's going to say. He's saying the concept we saw last week answers this.
Sorry, it's just
going to
say we're going to deserve that we're on the 49th level of Truma.
Right, that's a good question. He's assuming not. אבל התשובה בזה, the answer here, שאין הפועלים המגיעים בעולם התחתון לאיש איש על ידי סיבות פרטיות. When God does things in this world, he doesn't zap this guy or that guy. It's not like lightning will strike him or the other guy. Hashem doesn't make specific reasons for each person. אבל על ידי סיבות כוללות. But God makes general things happen that will affect the world the way God wants. God doesn't want nature to change in accordance with each person. So if Hashem wanted to smite the firstborns of the Egyptians, chidesh is a inyan mafsid umityaches lebchorot. God created something that would afflict specifically firstborns, because all firstborns have something in common. Vehu, and that is, she'en safek she'en arechem asher lo nolad bo ubar meolam, bota tchuna asher yi arechem asher kvar notzru bo vladot, the womb that that never had a child is different than a womb that had a child. We know this today. We know this in many ways. The entrance to the womb changes after the first delivery. The womb itself, a woman that had a child prior to a certain age, is more likely to be able to conceive at a later age. The Talmud says it. Today, modern medicine says it. The womb changes. There's a shift within the woman after she's had children. So the first child is growing up in a womb that has not yet been inaugurated, so to speak. It's a different womb.
Right. Woman,
granted. Yeah.
I was gonna ask. If it was going to be something genetic, apparently not.
No.
But either way, which is going along the similar lines of what he said, that this the difference isn't in the firstborn that you're describing. The difference is in the womb in which the firstborn was conceived into and developed within. So. What within the phenotype or the genotype or of the firstborn himself makes him different than any other child or person who is not a firstborn?
He's also guessing.
According to science, the firstborn actually has completely different immunities and a completely different lifespan than the rest of the children.
Really?
Yeah. So I can't remember if it's on average, firstborn child has lived like 4 years. It's like a 4 year difference between I think like you get a higher immunity, but you live a shorter amount of time. So on average, firstborns aren't supposed to different sicknesses affect them, but they live. I think it's generally a shorter amount of time.
So okay.
According to modern days.
That's interesting.
Okay, so he's saying it could also be much of our immune system develops. Some develops in utero, but some develops from nursing. And it could be that the milk is different for the first baby and other babies. I don't know. He's saying, bottom line, he's saying from the womb. He's saying a womb that develops the first child is different than the womb that develops other children. And because firstborns have that difference, it could very easily be that firstborns will be susceptible to some kind of disease that we don't understand. And that's why the mitzvah of sanctifying the firstborn revolves around the idea, the first one to break through the womb. The Torah keeps saying, Peter Rechem, the first one who broke through the womb, the one who opened the womb. Because firstborn in halacha revolves around the firstborn to the mother. That's why if a person gets married a second and a third time, he can have a pidyon ben a second and a third time. Because each time it's the first one to come out of the mother's womb. So his first son from this wife gets a pidyon ben, and his first wife from the second wife can get a pidyon ben, and his third wife can get a pidyon ben. Because what makes him a firstborn is this question, is he the first to come out of the womb?
With regards to inheritance when the father dies,
There's nothing to do with this. That's a totally different thing. ואבל פי שאמרו במדרש אין שם בכור גדול הבית מת שהוא קרוי בכור. Amichai's question, and even though the Medrash says, if there is no firstborn, then the eldest would die, because he was called the Bechor. זהו על צד הדרש, that's a Medrash. אבל כפי פשוטו של דבר, but going with the simple reading of the text, הבחורות שהיו נתלים בפטרי הרחמים הם שלקו. The ones who were hit, if we don't go with the Medrash, the simple reading is that only the ones who opened the womb, the first to come out, and those, well, they're all connected. And in that, God says, if I would let nature take its course, then there'd be no difference between the firstborn Egyptian and the firstborn Jew. Because God's creating some kind of disease that will affect the firstborn. Now this is a phenomenal thought what the Ran is saying. We keep speaking about the plague of the firstborn being God going zap, 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 right? God's jumping house to house. And suddenly, no. The Ran's telling us God brought a plague of the firstborn by creating some kind of disease that will affect the firstborn, and that's called the plague of the firstborn, and the culmination of all the plagues is that?
In Egypt.
In Egypt.
The blood from the land.
Right.
Neutralizes the disease
or something.
What? Then the blood of the land, I mean, that's like a whole big connection to avoiding this whole plague. Was it supposed to neutralize the disease or something?
No, you don't. לא יודע, מפני זה אמר השם יתברך, שמפני שהיה מגן באדם וצילה מן הרע שהראוי לחול בהם, הקדיש אותם לו. And that's why God says, because he protected them, saved them from this evil that could have befallen them, Hashem says, I designated them for me. הנה נתבאר מזה. What we've seen from here is שכאשר יתחדש שפע שופע ממשיך איזה דבר מזיק, יקבל בו איזה גם האיש אשר איננו ראוי שיענש כפי מעשיו. If God brings something to the world that causes harm, so then people can get hit, even though they don't deserve it, even though their actions don't warrant their suffering. Im lo shi'e lav zchut prati, unless a person has a specific merit, yagen Hashem itbarach ba'adom ha'ezek ho'a nimshach ha'mitchadesh. If he specifically has a specific merit, then Hashem will protect him from that harm. With this understanding, we don't have to question anymore why is it that some righteous people suffer and some wicked people have it good. So that's step one. What?
Obviously some righteous people suffer too. In other words, if you have this merit, you might be spared. But it doesn't mean that if you weren't spared and you were seemingly righteous, you know, that you weren't righteous.
Right.
That's important.
Right. Right. He's saying it's pretty exceptional for a person to be spared exceptionally.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if you're right.
Even if he's righteous. Yeah.
It's a pretty shattering statement. So, I mean, like, I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but like, it really comes up against this whole